Bloomberg, the first word with Ken Pruitt.
Our guest is Bob Parker, senior advisor at Credit Suisse Asset Management in London. Bob, good morning.
Good morning.
Well, one of the big topics here in the financial world is whether Japan is going to have to sell its foreign-based assets, U.S. government bonds, whatever, in order to fund rebuilding. What's your take on the discussion?
Well, that concern, to some extent, is justified because the Bank of Japan obviously is the second largest holder of U.S. treasuries worldwide. Clearly, insurance companies will have to pay out claims for all the damage done, and they have very significant overseas investment portfolios. And obviously, for decades now, Japan has been a capital exporter. So I do have some sympathy with those concerns. Having said that, I think 2 points. First of all, I am sure that there will be a swap line initiated between the Federal Reserve and the Bank of Japan so that the Bank of Japan does not have to be a seller of U.S. treasuries. I think the second observation is obviously we will have a G7 meeting tomorrow. I think one aspect of that G7 meeting will be an agreement by the central banks to intervene in the foreign exchange markets to try and reduce volatility and to stop the upward movement in the Japanese yen. Because I think one point that is critical here is that prior to the earthquake and the ensuing damage, the Japanese economy was fairly weak, and it is highly sensitive to the level of the yen. A stronger yen would cause really quite serious damage to the Japanese economy.
Well, we've seen the yen was at 77 earlier, the highest since World War II.
That is absolutely right. And if one looks at the last year, the yen obviously has been, in line with the Swiss franc, one of the world's strongest currencies, as we saw capital repatriation throughout the last 12 months. That strength of the yen obviously caused problems for Japanese exporters. One of the features of the last 12 months has been Japanese exporters losing market share. In addition, it encouraged Japanese major companies to invest outside Japan rather than domestically. So it had a very negative effect on domestic investment spending. Plus, of course, the strength of the yen was one factor in deflation in Japan, which has had a negative effect on consumption. So, you know, if the yen was allowed, let's say, to go to 70 or 75 against the U.S. dollar, I think that that would have a major negative impact on the Japanese economy when obviously it has got major problems already.
Well, just as an example, we've seen Toyota here go from $94 a share roughly in the U.S. to on the 1st of March to about $80 now. Is there more selling to come?
I think what's interesting is what's happening in Europe as we speak, and we are seeing as you mentioned, a recovery in European equity markets, and I think that is due to, first of all, the statement of the obvious, which is that equity markets are now very oversold indeed. We've seen, you know, a lot of panic selling out of not just equities but also commodities this week. I think the second factor is that we can be certain that the Bank of Japan will continue to inject very significant volumes of liquidity into its domestic money markets to support the economy. And I think that will underpin equity markets. Obviously, there is a chance, and here we have a high degree of uncertainty, as to whether the nuclear problem is more dangerous than it appears at the moment. That, I think, if the news on the nuclear site gets worse, then there is a risk of another down leg in equity markets. But obviously, valuations in global equity markets, not just Japanese equity markets, are now looking compellingly cheap.
Compellingly cheap. So that's always part of the discussion here, whether to stay out or to buy, and you say buy.
No, I'm actually saying wait on the sidelines for the moment, because we have to deal with two major uncertainties in markets. First of all, how the nuclear plant is dealt with in Japan. And secondly, the news out of the Middle East over the last 24 hours has obviously not been market positive. I think one waits on the sidelines, adopts a cautious stance, but once we get clearer evidence of markets forming a bottom, and that's not necessarily today, then I think you will see investors come in as buyers. Should you be buying today, I think the risks are still too high.
The Spanish bond auction, how did it go?
Well, if you look at 10-year Spanish yields, we're currently trading at 5.18%. So on the spread with Germany, that is a spread of 206 basis points. So I think the answer to your question is it has gone well. And we have an interesting situation in Europe whereby investors are still concerned about the possibility of a Greek debt restructuring. They're still concerned about a possible write-down on Irish senior bank debt. There is a reasonable probability that Portugal will have to go to the bailout fund. But in the case of Spain, investors are impressed by the action that's been taken so far on the budget deficit and other structural reforms in the Spanish economy. And therefore, whereas if we had this discussion back in January, there was investor concern that Spain may have to go to the bailout fund, I think that concern is now significantly reduced, as evidenced by the fact that this spread is coming in.
Well, this has been seen beforehand, was seen as a test for the rescue fund. Would you say that it passed?
The answer is yes, but I would emphasize that, you know, the Spanish government and arguably the Portuguese government need to take similar action. But they are reducing their budget deficit very dramatically indeed. They're carrying out reforms also to the pension fund market and to the labor market. And what's encouraging in Spain is that we are actually seeing an improvement in industrial production after what was last year quite a severe recession. So I think we're seeing signs of good progress in Spain. I wish I could make that comment about other countries, though.
Bob Parker, Senior Advisor at Credit Suisse Asset Management, on the line from London.
You can subscribe to Bloomberg's premium podcast service at Bloomberg.com/Tom Keene and listen to Bloomberg The First Word weekday mornings at 5 Eastern on Bloomberg 1130 in New York or on satellite radio, Sirius Channel 130 and XM Channel 129. Copyright 2011 Bloomberg LP.